things I was going to say, and then I forgot all of those things. So so we'll just see how it goes. All right, so I was raised in Westchester, which is upstate to a lot of y'all. It's like, it's like literally a half an hour away, so just for the record. And there, I, the one thing that I hear a lot is like, oh, like, I never fit in, I always felt like an outcast, and like, that I so identify with in this room. Like, I didn't realize it when I first came in. I thought I was like this whole person that I knew exactly everything about myself, and I knew nothing about myself. And I really didn't even notice it, but I did not fit in where I grew up. And the only reminder of that was that my dad would always get really mad at me by, like, my friend choice. He would be like, oh, like, why do you hang out with those people? Like, instead of, like, the blonde rich girls that get drunk in their basement. Like, those are better. And I was like, I don't like them. They're not like me. And it wasn't even about that. I just, like, I just connected with very, very different people. And a lot of that was that I think we were all just kind of, like, not to be self-deprecating, but we were all, like, kind of damaged in our own ways, individually. And I don't think we knew it at the time because we were all children. But I think that is a big part of, like, what connected me and the people that I chose to be friends with as a kid. And a lot of my struggles growing up was that I was, like, very, very unhappy with my family life, while simultaneously, like, being told that, like, there was no better lifestyle. Like, there was nothing better than what I already knew. Which was really confusing for me. So I was like, how could that be? Like, this sucks. You know, I was like constantly living in fear. Like, just so much fear. So much fear. Mostly of my father. He was super scary. And anyone who ever met him knew that. I've rarely ever had people in my house because, like, my parents, like, made it really nice. They, like, made a whole basement that was, once my dad got, like, a little bit of money, he invested a lot of money in making our basement, like, a home theater. So it's, like, a huge projected TV and, like, comfy couches and really dark and, like, cool. And I think that he thought that it would keep me home more and, like, safer and I would, like, bring friends over. But I couldn't do what I wanted to do in my house. And what I wanted to do was, spoiler alert, drink and do drugs. And so that was, like, a struggle situation. Basically, what I used that for was, like, having already, like, I would, like, leave the house and then, like, go get drunk and then come out, come back in through the back door that was in that home theater and, like, have random hookups as a child. So that's really what I used it for. It was a sneaky spot. But, okay, so my first drink was when I was 11. My parents took me to England for Thanksgiving. That happened, and they left me in their friend's friend's house full of a bunch of adults that I didn't know so that they could go to a concert together, and I was like, this is happening, so I'm just gonna drink until I fall asleep, because who the fuck cares, nobody knows me here, like, nobody's gonna know the difference, and I drank, like, this really super sweet dessert wine, literally until I fell asleep. I don't remember, like, being super wasted, because I think I was, like, a very small little 11-year-old, and I just drank and then fell asleep. Like, I didn't, like, pass out from being wasted. And then I woke up, and, like, it was like nothing had ever happened. So it wasn't really that exciting. And then when I was 14, I went to Italy with my school. They had like this little program where over the winter break you could sign up and basically like very moderately supervised go to a foreign country with a bunch of kids and like experience the world. And conceptually it was like a really great idea. Realistically, it was like really unsafe. We did a lot of things that we should not have been able to do. And I drank limoncello, for anyone who knows what that is. And I was very silly. It was like very silly drunk, because I was 14 and I thought it was really funny. And I had like these toothbrushes in the bathroom and I had them have like a whole interaction and they were toothbrushes, so that was a weird thing. And then I like had some really not great sexual interactions, but like nothing like detrimental, I guess. And then I came home and like I still was not like super about drinking. It was like a more positive, more substantial memory than the very first time I drank, so it was like a little bit more on my mind, but it wasn't really a priority for me yet. And at the same time, so I think what happened was when I left the country for that trip, I like thought that I could be a totally different person for the like 2 weeks that I wasn't in America. Because when I was in America during that whole time frame, I was like aggressively straight edge. Aggressively. That was like part of my being. I was like, drinking and drinking is bad. And like, I listen to Dare. And like, all that. Like, it was like really, I was really about it. And you know, I joined this Shakespeare company. I was really into Shakespeare, I guess. And I was really into the people that were in the Shakespeare company, is the real answer. So I joined the Shakespeare company, and I joined the costume design so that I didn't have to like do anything like in front of anyone. And that was a lot of fun, except for that they all drank very alcoholically, and those were the people that I chose to be around once I got into like late middle school, high school. And they were like my first introduction to like kids like partying and drinking and having a good time and like loving each other because they were all theater kids. And it was like nice, but I was still like on my little straight edge high horse, like I don't do that, y'all can do that, but I don't do that. And I got a lot of like pride out of it because I thought like, oh, I can take care of you guys because and no one else can, and it's not my job, nobody cares what I do. But it, whatever. So that was like a big part of who I was until I like woke up one day and just decided like fuck it, you know, like I'm just gonna see how it goes and like see what drinking and drugging is about. And what happened for me was weed was without a doubt my drug of choice. I did it one time and from that point on it was my everything. I did it one time and I decided all day, every day, that's what I was gonna do. I never, ever took a break from the first time I smoked. I smoked every single day. And I made it happen. Like, there were times where I didn't have money. I didn't, like, maybe some of my friends, like, that were selling weren't around. Like, I made it happen. And then, sneaky little me, decided to date the most popular drug dealer in school. So that I didn't have to worry about it anymore, because it was always there. It was just always there because she was there, and that was great for me. This is how destructive I was. I like saw this girl. I knew she was the number one drug dealer in the school. I also could tell that she was gay, but I didn't know if she knew she was gay because she had like only had boyfriends. And so what I did is I dragged her out of the closet so that I could be in a relationship with her so that I could have all the weed that I wanted at any time. literally, that's so fucked up in retrospect, but that's what happened. I dragged her. Oh, God. And she ended up being a really huge part of my life in the sense of, like, I just, you know, like, I think she really escalated my abuse, drug and alcohol abuse. And even, like myself, my brain, like, even, like, my brain deteriorated while we were together. Like, she opened up the world of self-harm. She opened up the world of drugs and alcohol. She opened up the world of sex. And a lot of it at the time was amazing. And I remember one time, me and my family got into a car accident, and I had recently started cutting. And my mom straight up thought that she would, like, this is the type of person she was, like, my mom straight up thought that she was the person abusing me when she saw all my scars from cutting myself. Like that's terrifying, that was her first impulse. And I was like, you're crazy, she would never do that. And, like, she wouldn't, but, like, the fact that that's what my mother saw her as, like, somebody who's capable of doing that is, like, intense to think about. So I started doing drugs, and I, like, got in a shit ton of trouble with my family. When I was growing up, me and my dad were a little closer because we're very, very similar. And me and my mom have never been close. We're not even a little bit alike. We don't like any of the same things. We don't have the same personality. She's just, like, a person who gave birth to me that I love by default, essentially. And, like, through this program, I've learned so much love and acceptance for her because we've had some really shitty times in the last couple of years. And when I started using a little bit more, my dad became, like, an extreme version of who he was as a kid, when I was a kid. He struggles, emotionally. I was always ruled by fear in his house, but, like, there were times, like, it was so much more than that. There was, like, so much manipulation, so much, like, threats, name-calling. Like, I felt so shitty about myself because of him for so many years. And it took a long time for me to let go of that resentment. And to be honest, I'm gonna tell you this because I'm saying all this shitty shit about him right now. We're best friends right now. Me and him are literally best friends. We're not best friends. I think I'm his best friend, but he needs some more friends. He does. If you have a dad, that's we'll hook him up. So, okay, so basically I went to college and thought, hey, like, this is a great time for me to do everything that I've wanted to do without actually getting in trouble for it. And I almost went, I got scholarship to this little school called Elizabethtown in, I think, Pennsylvania. And it was really cute, and it reminded me a lot of the camp that I had gone to as a kid. And it was like, it was just, like, very, like, innocent and adorable and, like, academically, like, strong and all this shit. That was, like, good for me. And I was like, this is boring. I don't want that. And so I went to Ithaca, which was, at the time, like, a renowned party school. I don't know if people still see it that way, but it was, yeah. And I was like, that's what I want. That's where I want to go. So I did. So I went there. So funny story about Ithaca. I recently decided to go back to school, and I was getting all my transcripts from all my old schools. And I looked at my transcript from Ithaca. I failed every single class except for one, my first semester there. And every single semester, I was on academic probation for the 3 semesters that I lasted there. Because I never went to class. Like, I remember being in, like, 12 classes of those 3 semesters. I'm sure I was in more, but I was, like, so drunk and high all the time, I don't remember them. But I remember distinctly 12 individual classes. Which is terrifying. That's terrifying. And very evident based on my transcript. And I went there and pretty much got exactly what I wanted, which is how I hit my bottom so quickly. I joined the Frisbee team because I heard that there were some cute lesbians there. And then there wasn't. there was one lesbian, and she was already in a relationship with a cheerleader, which I was very resentful of, because why would she date her when she could date me, even though we hadn't met yet? So, you know how that works. Yeah, that's what I was. And like, to be honest, it didn't even matter to me at the time that she had a girlfriend. I, like, spent one-on-one time with her all the time and, like, would, like, smoke her up so that she would hang out with me and, like go to her house and, like, eat Jello shots and, like, just whatever she wanted to do, I would just do it. And then when her and her girlfriend had, like, a situation, she cheated on her with me, and I was like, nailed it. Did it. That was a successful interaction. So, whatever. I was just such a shitty person, guys. I wasn't great. So, I did that. I, like, made a couple friends. Some of them I'm still friends with, it's very surprising. I don't know how that happened. But a couple of them still like me to this day. Three of them still like me. 4. You know what? There's 4. Because I recently went back to Ithaca. And one of my friends who was really, like, solely a drinking buddy, which I didn't realize at the time, we, like, identified as best friends, and we, like, spent every weekend together, and I was in her house when she wasn't all the time. But essentially, as soon as I left school and I was not there anymore, we never spoke. But I was able to visit upstate. I went to Ithaca, and I saw her, we like met for breakfast, and she told me about like her struggles with her drug and alcohol use and like the friends that she surrounded herself with and how much she's struggling, and like she just moved back to California because she's just not happy, and like she's trying to do the geographical change thing. And like, it's just very interesting, and I was glad that I got to meet up with her to show her like what getting sober looks like. Just in case she ever wants that for herself. Because we were very similar. We were very, very similar. So I'm not going to take her inventory, but you never know. So I was in college. I failed a lot. Did a lot of drugs. Oh, right. Okay. So let's... So I went home after my first year. And that summer, I met a boy who was fine. He was super nice, guys. He was super nice. But more importantly, he sold a lot of drugs. And was also super nice, so that was great. So we dated for the summer, and we both went into it knowing, like, we're not gonna fall in love, we're, like, not gonna be, like, anything, we're just, like, kinda hanging out for the summer, and then we're gonna go back and live our lives. And that was probably, looking back on it, like, the very beginning of my downfall, because I was dating him and simultaneously sleeping with 2 of my exes. One of them being the girl from high school, and one of them being this boy who I knew was in love with me, but I didn't really care about, so that was not nice of me. So I really feel bad about that. That was like some shitty shit. So what happened was, I was like in this like very nice little relationship where basically all we did was drink and drug and like hang out and listen to the fucking music he wanted to listen to, which I'm not resentful, it's fine. And I was hanging out with my ex one night instead of hanging out with him. Or maybe I had like hung out with him and then I like was like, I'm going home early, and then actually went and hung out with her. And we only ever hung out in my car so that nobody like would know that we were ever hanging out. Slash, we only ever hung out in my car ever. Literally our entire relationship was in my car. And she said this thing to me, and she was, like, so 4 days after we broke up, years and years and years ago, she was, like, Facebook official with this girl who then she eventually married and is now divorced from and is now married to a new person, so that's her in a nutshell. But at the time, she was, I think, engaged to the first woman, and but every time we saw each other, she would, like, confess her love to me and be like, you're the one who got away, like, you're, like, every, like, so, like, I'm still in love with you, like, you're amazing, whatever she said to me. And just basically made me feel like, deep down, she really wanted to be with me. And I was always like, okay, that's fine, but, like, if that's the case, like, you would make it happen. Like, let's be real. But, like, deep down, I, like, believed her. Which was really damaging. Because then one day she said to me, thank you, the man doesn't leave his wife for the mistress, and I'm the mistress. And that really got to me. And basically what happened was I was like, okay, so that's how you feel. And in order to get back at you, I'm going to go start doing cocaine. Yeah. That was, yeah. And it worked out super well, as you could imagine. And just like weed, I was the same way with cocaine. I did it one time, and I did it all day, every day from that point on. But, so now you know I'm getting to the end of my story because I'm talking about cocaine. I only did it for 1 month. It took 1 month for me to hit my bottom. I started doing it all day, every day. I was very broke very quickly, very alone very quickly, like emotionally, spiritually, and physically depleted very quickly. I had officially stopped going to classes, like not even trying, because I was busy like frantically cleaning my room. And like really, like that was the priority at all times for that entire month, which is super bizarre to me. And my room was never clean, so it took me a whole month to not clean my room. Is what happened. And I came home for Thanksgiving break that week, that month, and was like, everything's fine, everything's fine. I'm great. It's great. Everything's fine. Everything's totally fine. And I got, or it was Christmas break, because then me and my two closest cousins got drunk in my house, and we were, like, having a good time. We were all, like, in college, like, ish adults. Like, it was fine by our families that this was happening. And, like, so it was, like, cute and, like, innocent and adorable, and we were having fun. And I just, like, oh, it was terrible. It was so terrible. I woke up the next morning and just, like, couldn't stop crying. Nothing detrimental had happened. We literally just, like, hung out, talked shit, like, did whatever. There's actually a picture with, like, a weird filter of the three of us wasted that night, looking like we had a good time. But I distinctly remember waking up that next morning and just being like, I can't. Like everything about last night should have been fun for me. There's no reason for me to feel this way. And I was just so done. Like, I'm so grateful that I have a low emotional pain tolerance, because it would have taken me a lot longer to come in here. And I'm also so grateful that two of the girls that I used to get messed up with in high school had already come into the program. So all I had to do was call one of my best friends and be like, hey, like, I'm going to come to a meeting with you. And I did. And, like, it was super, super convenient and easy. And I'm so, so lucky that I came in having a little bit of knowledge about AA. Like, I didn't know anything about it, but I knew it existed, and I knew that it worked for people, and that was enough for me. Because I really had no other options. I was like, I don't know how to fix what's happening right now. I had prided myself so much on being, like, this strong, honest, like, self-built, confidence-having person, because, like, I had so many other aspects of my life that were, like, trying to make other things happen. And like, none of that was who I was anymore. I was, like, I'd crossed all my, like, drug and alcohol boundaries. Like, I was lying to everyone. I used to, when I came in, I thought, I'm super honest. Like, I never drank and drove. I never lie to anyone. I do exactly what I want for myself. Like, all these things. Well, after I did my fourth step, I realized none of those things were true. That I was not that person. I was a big liar. I stole shit. I was like, it was not cute. I was not a cute lady. And like, thank God I did my fourth step and realized that, because how else would I have changed? Am I right? Thanks, girl. So I came in. I was very, very willing to do the steps and very, very willing to find a higher power. Which is not a lot of people's experience, and I am very blessed that that was my experience, because I had been searching for a higher power my entire life. I was not raised with any type of religion. We, like, put a tree when it was Christmas time, and, like, that was it. That's all I knew. I was not allowed to go to CCD or Hebrew school, because I wanted to do both just to see what I wanted, and my parents said, no, that's not how it works. And I said, okay, all right. So that was the end of that. And so I came in and I was given the opportunity to create my own higher power, which was amazing because I got to create it, which is, you know, so that's something I could control, which was great. I like that. And I came in, I got a sponsor and was like, hey, so I, don't want to do any of the things you're telling me to do. And she was like, okay, well, they are suggestions, but you should probably consider doing them. And some of them I did, and some of them I didn't. But I'm very, very grateful to have gotten through the things that I did without having taken them. Because that is, yeah, cool. So basically, I got sober. The steps are super important. My higher power is, like, honestly the most important thing for me. I pray all the time, all day, every day. Meditate as much as I can. Go to meetings as much as I can. Be there for other people as much as I can, which I didn't care about before I came into this program. And that's, I've been talking a lot, so that's enough.